In a few minutes, we will remember our Lord as we have been instructed to do so on the first day of the week. In addition to eating of the bread and partaking of the fruit of the vine, one of the key things that you and I as Christians have to do when partaking of the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves. Self-examination. I say that because 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 29 instructs us saying, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." And so when we take of the Lord's Supper, one way to self-examine is through cross-examination. Paul is essentially telling us as individuals to do a heart check before we take the communion and as we partake the communion. And so let's ask ourselves this morning, are we rightly prepared to take the Lord's Supper? I think the idea of preparation is something that most of us can understand. We deal with it in our daily life. You know, in my home, my kitchen is centrally located in the house. And so whether you enter the house from the front door or the back door or the garage, if you want to get anywhere in my house, you have to go through my kitchen. Now, on most days, what that means is on a daily basis that my kids and I are confronted with good smells when we go through the kitchen because my wife has made something just amazing to eat for that evening. And here's the temptation. When we walk through that kitchen, I am tempted to grab something, to snitch from the plate before dinner. And when that happens, or when that happens with one of my kids, invariably my wife will say something like that. "Absolutely not. Go wash your hands before you come to the table." And she'll say that rightly because she has prepared a meal for us and it's special and we need to approach it with honor. So it is with God. The meal that we're about to eat this morning has been prepared with great detail, with great care by our God, and he expects us to eat it with holy hands. So a man must examine himself before and during the Lord's Supper. But like, what does this mean? Like, how do we do that properly? We do that by examining our hearts. Think about 2 Corinthians 13:5, which is a similar verse where Paul says, "Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test?" And so, just like we go to doctor's offices and get examinations, we need to examine ourselves spiritually. Like, where are we at this morning in our relationship with God? Do we have any unrepented sin in our life? What kind of fruit are we producing for the kingdom? And in the examination of our faith, there needs to be examination of our devotion. Like that old hymn asks, "Is thy heart right with God?" Is my heart right with God? Is there sin in my life that needs to be confessed? 1 John 1:9 reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so I got to say that although the Lord's Supper is not for the sinless, but it is for those people who are dealing with their sin on the heart level as we are walking with Christ. That means we should not shrug off any kind of known sin in our life or excuse it by saying, "It's just who I am. Like, you know, I'm just being real," or "It's just my weakness." As Paul rhetorically asks in Romans 6:1-10, "Are we to continue in sin so that may grace may abound?" What's the answer? And in fact, emphatic, like, may it never be. Absolutely not. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So the Lord's Supper gives us this weekly reminder that we need to deal with our sins on the heart level as we come before our holy God. It's also a time in which we can examine ourselves by considering our work for the Lord. Galatians 6, 3 through 5 reads, "If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." You know, like the Pharisee in Luke 18, I think sometimes we can take comfort in ourselves in not being like most other people. We can point the finger at other selves in an effort to prop ourselves up. But Paul points out, and what the Bible writers point out, is that whatever boasting we do has to be in our own work itself and not in comparison with what others are doing. And so our primary concern needs to be ourselves, not our wives, not our husbands, not our kids, not like the person sitting next to you on the pew or your next door neighbor. This is a time to examine our own work. Now, I think there's several questions we might ask ourselves as we examine our own work. I'm just going to offer two for your thought. First is, what am I doing day in and day out to be pleasing to God? Like this last week, have I been pleasing to my Holy Father in what I've done for Him? I mean, we're taught to walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the stuff of Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 10. We just read, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." That's Psalm 127, verse 1. Another good question to ask is this, like, am I doing what God intends? Because we can avoid doing the wrong things, but still be displeasing through a failure to do what is right, what we know to do is right. The parable of the talents teaches us to use those abilities that God has given us, those opportunities that God has entrusted to us to do His service. And so just how much are we contributing to the Lord's kingdom as we walk with Him? Finally, as we come to the table, we can examine our character. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." And thinking about imitation, I think it not only involves a copying of external behavior, but it also includes replicating internal motivation. I mean, here's what I mean by that. When we imitate Christ's actions, we also need to be imitating His motives. We also need to do the things we do in the kingdom for Christ's reasons. Jesus expects of us what He Himself demonstrated in His own life and in His own relationship with the Father. He Himself imitated His Father, but not just what His Father did in His Father's works, but for the reason that His Father did these things, for His love and concern for the world. And so as our primary role model, Jesus watched the Father work, and He did the same, and He did it for those reasons. And about this He said in John 5, 17 and 19, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And then truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." And so as this morning, as we look in the spiritual mirror, do we see what Jesus modeled for us? Do you see the character traits of meekness and submission and obedience and endurance and self-control and long-suffering? Do we see things like humility and prayerfulness in us? Do we see love? Do we see loyal commitment? Like Paul, are we striving to pattern and model ourselves not just after the works of Christ, but after the character and motivation of Christ? Character counts, and it's an important thing to consider this morning as we examine ourselves. Let's think about these things and examine ourselves as we remember our Lord.